Today's Shia is Masechta Menachas Daf Nun Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. The last words in Amid Tanur Rabbanan. Tanur Rabbanan, as we've discussed, the Shtei Alechem and the Lach Meitayda, at least one of the Lach Meitayda, are Chametz. And the Gemara's discussion now is, when the Aloch is that we're supposed to make him Chametz, how is that accomplished? So says the Braisa, Ein Machmitzim, we don't make the Shtei Lechem and Lach Meitayda with Tapuchim by kneading them with fruit juice, because when we use fruit juice to make the dough leavened, it's not going to be really properly leavened. And because we want it to be properly leavened, we should not use fruit juice. Says the Gemara, Meshimar Gmalil Amru Machmitzim, we may use fruit juice. Rav Kahana Masalom, Rav Chanina Ben Traja. Rav Kahana's version of this halacha is that it was Rav Chanina Ben Trajan who was the one that said we used fruit juice to make the Shtei Lechem Lach Meitayda Chametz. Says the Gemara, Kaman Azlo, ask the Gemara, Kaman Azlo Hodotanan, who is the Tana of the following Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Tapuach Shariskoi. If we have an apple that we grated, V'nosta B'tachi Isa, we put it into a dough of chul, the Tapuach was Truma, and we grated it, and we put it into a dough made of chulin, and because of that chimtza, that made the dough chametz, hareza surim, the halacha is that dough may not be eaten by zorim, by people, Yisraelim, who may not eat truma. Kaman, says the Gemara Lema, Shui suggests Rav Chanina ben Gamliel here. It represents the opinion of Chanina ben Gamliel that holds that may peris are machmitzim, and it doesn't follow the opinion of the Rabbanan. So the way to understand this Gemara is, as we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn in Masechta Chulin, there are different foods that never become bottle. One of the foods that doesn't become bottle is something that's a nice and tam, something that gives taste. The Gemara's discussion here is regarding the apple. So obviously the Gemara is not of the opinion that the apple is nois and tam in the dough. Because if the apple is nois and tam, if the apple gives taste to the dough, then the halacha would be we wouldn't be allowed to eat the dough, not because of the question of chametz, which we are discussing, but rather because of the issue of a nois and tam that's never bottle, and if it's truma, then it's not bottle. Number two is that we know that the ratio for bittel by truma is the ratio of 100 to 1. So obviously, this apple is bottle, is nullified in a ratio to 100 to 1. The question here is, if it's machmitz, if this apple has the ability to make this dough into chametz, because if it has the ability to make it into chametz, then even if it doesn't have a noticeable tam, and it won't be a situation of nois and tam that's not bottle, it still will be an issue because it's machmitz. And something that is machmitz has the same halacha as something which is nois and tam. And that's what the Gemara is suggesting is the machlokes. The Mishnah that's saying that it doesn't become bottle is obviously following the opinion that the apple has the ability to be machmitz, and since the apple has the ability to be machmitz, it's similar to apple that gives tam, and something that gives tam never becomes bottle. Says the Gemara. So now there's a question that's very important, and that is, when we speak about the ability of fruit juice, of May Paris, to be machmitz, the halacha is that there's a big discussion, what happens if it's not pure fruit juice? If the fruit juice mixes with water, There's some opinions that say that when the fruit juice mixes with the water, then it's not going to be machnitz. And there's some opinions that say that when fruit juice mixes with water, it's actually machmitz quicker. And now the question is, we're going to ostensibly have to connect that question to the question that we're discussing now, if the apple is the water there also, because that would have relevance to being machmitz or not. But again, the Gemara is saying the fact that this apple juice, this apple, which is truma, is not bottle, is obviously following the opinion that the May Paris have the ability to be machmitz, says the Marfil Tem Rabbanan. We could say that this Mishnah is following even the opinion of the Rabbanan. Nay the Chametz Gomelai have it. Even though the Rabbanan hold that May Paris don't have the ability to be machmitz, they do agree that May Paris have the ability to make it into Chametz Noiksha. Chametz Noiksha is not to the degree of full-fledged chametz, but it's somewhat chametz. And it's enough to make that this dough would not be mutter for Zoram to eat. And therefore, we could say that even though this Mishnah is not following the opinion that may machbirim, may peris machmitzim, it still makes it into noiksha, and if it makes it into noiksha, and it's truma, Yisrael would not be allowed to eat it. Amar Rav Ila, ein lecha kasha l'kmitza. There is no mincha which is difficult to do kmitza, as we've learned extensively in our Masechta, that when you bring a korban mincha, you do kmitza with it, and that, says the Gemara, the hardest korban mincha to do kmitza with, ein lecha kasha l'kmitza, there's no a mincha which is more difficult to do kmitza on, yoyse v'michas chayta. The michas chayta, which we know is a korban mincha that is only flour and there's no oil. And since it becomes very brittle, there's no liquid in it, so it becomes very hard that the kohen has to be most careful that since you have these clumps of flour, because you didn't have any liquid added to it, it becomes difficult to do kmitza, that it should be, as we learned many times when we spoke about kmitza, we have to make it in a way that it's not too much, not too little, it should be the exact amount. He adds a new halacha, that we are allowed to put water into the minchas chayta, a kshera, it's kasha. Says the Gemara, Lema. So the Gemara wants to suggest that what is the basis of Rav Ila Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi? The mass of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi's opinion is K'mo Sheheim Mesherinen. We could add water because we look at it according to what it is currently. We can't put water into the mincha because if they add water, then it won't have the same consistency as it had originally. And if it won't have the same consistency as it had originally because of the water, so then it's not the korban mincha that we started with it off with an isaron of flour. Says Marloi, we don't have to learn that way. Rather, the Kul Alma, everyone could agree, K'mo Sheheim Sharinan, that we look at it as it is currently. The mass of a maicha, we know the michas chayta, we've discussed this many times, the Torah, the Mishnah, calls it a mincha chareva, and the question is, what is the definition of chareva? The word chareva, of course, we know, means dry. But the question is, what does dry mean? Maicha reva, what does dry mean? Mass of a Chareva Mishemen. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says the definition of Chareva means that it's dry, it doesn't have oil, but doesn't mean it may not have water. Or Masavar, and Rav Ila's opinion is Chareva Mikol Dover has to be completely dry, and it may not have, certainly not have oil, but may not have water either. Tanan Hosam begins the Gemara. So the Gemara begins now a discussion. Whenever we have something and we have to evaluate it, do we look at it as it is now, or do we look at it as it was originally? says the Gemara Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah Masechta the Uxin speaks about Tumas Eichlim. Now, the halacha is that foods are not Mekabel Tuma only when they have the shear of Kabeya, which is actually somewhat of a Machloikus Rishonim. Everybody is in agreement that food cannot spread Tuma, food cannot spread Tuma, transmit Tuma, unless it has a Kabeya. There's a Machloikus, Rashi, and Tosfos. When we look at food to be makabel tuma, do you also need to have a kabeya? That's the opinion of Tosfos. Or to be makabel tuma, there the opinion of Rashi. Or to be makabel tuma, you can have even a kosher. But now we're certainly talking about the ability of food to spread tuma. So the Mishnah Masechta Oxen, Perek Beis Mishnah Ches discusses the halacha is Basar Egel, and we have meat from a calf that did not have originally a Shir Kabeya, Shenispach, that grew afterwards. When you cook food, particularly when you cook meat, it gets bigger. And now we have a Kabeya. Or vice versa, Basar Zakena, if you have meat from an older animal that started off with a Shir Kabeya, Shenismach, that it shrunk. Certain meats apparently shrink when you cook them. So now the question is, how does the halacha view the shear of this meat? As it is currently or it was originally? So Tanakama, the Mishnah says, we view them as they are. So now the Gemara debates, what does that mean? Rav Rav Chiv Rav Yochanan Amri, Mishtarim Kama Shehen, we look at them as they are currently, and therefore the Basar Egel that has a Kabeya will be Mekabel Tuma, and the Basar Zakena that doesn't have a Kabeya will not be Mekabel Tuma. And says the Gemara, Shmuel Rav Shimon Bar Revi Reish Lakish Amri Mishtar L'Mar Shehein, we look at what their size was originally. Ask the Gemara Meisvei, the Brisa says, Basar Egel Shloi Ayubay Kishir, if the meat of a calf did not originally have the right shear, for tafach v'amar al kashir, and expanded to now have the shear kabeya, the loch is talish over, whatever it was before it grew to that shear, it's not mekabel tuma, v'tama mekanal abba, and whatever comes in touch with tuma from moving forward, that it has a kabeya, that it is mekabel tuma. So we have here a whole new explanation. Before we said, either we look at the way it was originally, and here it says, we only look going further. Ask the Gemara, it answers the Gemara with Rabbanan. There's a Gzeres Rabbanan, because as the Rajba explains, that even though it did not, really, if it did not start off with a Kabeya, it's not going to be a Kabel Tuma. The reason why, even though now it does have a Kabeya. The reason the Rabbanan saw a need to make a Gzera, because the Rabbanan said, right now we have a Kabeya in front of us. And since right now we have a Kabeya in front of us, we're concerned that people are going to think that even when you have a Kabeya, it's not Mekabel Tuma. Ask the Gemara, Yehochi, let's continue. If we're saying that that Brisa is only teaching us a new tuma, a tuma drabanan. Yehachi continues the Gemara. Aim a sefer. Let's continue learning. The brisa that came bepigel, that came benicer. That the same halacha that was saying regarding tuma is going to be relevant to hilchas pigel and nicer. That the halacha is that once it achieved the shir kabeya, it's going to have all the dinim of as if it has a beya. Meaning that if here we're not talking about a bay anymore, here we're talking about a kazayas, and the halacha is going to be that if it was pig, it was pigle, and we know Rachman Tzlan, if somebody eats pigle, there's a chiyuv karis, and originally there wasn't a kazayas of pigle, but now it has a kazayas, or noiser, again, One may not eat carbon that's nicer, and if you eat it, there's a chiyuv karis, even if it wasn't the shir kazayis at the beginning. If it is currently shir kazayis, there's going to be a chiyuv karis. Makes the Gemara its point. Yeah, Shlomo deraisa. If we're going to say we're talking about a halacha deraisa, so we could understand the halacha, the Brais is teaching us, hainu de'ika pigel v'noiser. That's how we could understand there's a situation of pigel v'noiser. But ask the Gemara. Eliam at the Rabbanon, if we're going to say that's only talking about a Rabbanon, pigel v'noiser with Rabbanon me'ikar, ask the Gemara, is it possible to make something possible to be pigel v'noiser mid Rabbanon? Ema says the Gemara, of course not. It can't become pigel v'noiser after it wasn't. Or it can't have the halachas of pigel v'noiser mid Rabbanon. But says the Gemara, what here the Gemara means here is betumas pigel betumas noiser. We're talking about the pigel gives off tuma, noiser gives off tuma. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim that Peheyam and Aleph teaches us that the Rabbanan identified that this the Rabbanan established that there should be pigel by there should be tuma by pigel v'noiser. That the halacha is that they become tame because. Very interesting approach. Even though there were different mitzvahs and averis that people were more concerned about versus that they were less concerned about. And there were kahanim who weren't so concerned about pigel v'noiser. And they would have no problem, unfortunately, making a carbon into pigel into noiser. But what they would have a problem doing is that they would have a problem, tuma. So in order to make sure that people should avoid making or coming in contact or doing anything that would make a carbon pigel and noiser, they instituted tuma on pigel and noiser. But it's a tuma drabonin. Sakadat chamina. And now the Gemara makes the point. Hoyel fitumas pigel, tumas noiser, drabonin hai. Since the whole tuma, as we just described, is only a tuma drabonin, Kula haibud Rabbanon loy ovid Rabbanon, Chazal would not so machmer to look at what it is currently, what versus what it was originally, Kamash Malon. That's why the Gemara is teaching us that no, we even in this type of tumah, which is only a tumah Rabbanon, we look at what it was originally. Tashma, so the Gemara brings another raya. To what is the halacha? How do we look at something? Do we look at its current size, original size, etc.? The Brisa says, "Basel kena shayba kashir." If it originally had the shear tuma, which is a kabeya, v'tsamach pachas mashir, and now it doesn't have the shear kabeya anymore, the halacha is tamei l'shavar. Whatever was the case before it shrunk, the halacha is that it's tamei. But now that we no longer have the shear, the tamei kana laba, it doesn't have the shear kabeya, it's not mekabel tuma. So we see that this is, so obviously we have a question here on the opinion of Shmuel, or of Shimon Berebi and Reish Lakish, that we always look at what it was originally. And that's why we learned at the beginning of this sugya, that their opinion is that if the meat was originally had the shear and it shrunk, it's still got a mekabel tuma. Says the Gemara, a new way of understanding the machloikus. And says the Gemara, Amarava, Amarava, Kolech, Demikar, Avabe. Wherever we had the proper shear, Vahash, the lespe, and now we don't, because it shrunk, we don't have the proper shear. So of course, how lespe? We can't make a tame. You need a shear kabeya, and we don't have the shear kabeya. On the other hand, Vakolhecha, the Mikar, Lahavabe. If at the beginning it didn't have the proper shear, for Hashta Havabe, and now it has the proper shear, so everybody would agree, as we said a few moments ago, that's going to be Tamei Midrabonon. Ki Pligi, where do we have a Machloikus? Kigan Shaiba Kishir, where it started off with the proper shear, for Tzomach, and then it shrunk. So, V'chaz V'tapach, and now it grew back to the original shear. And now the question is, how do we look at this? Masover, Rishimon and Rish Lakish are of the opinion yesh ticha b'yisurim, that once it became disqualified, it didn't have the proper shear, so therefore midaraisa it cannot be mekabel tuma anymore. Once it didn't have that proper shear, this entire halacha is only the fact that it now has the shear and it's going to be tuma is only a din derabbanan. Whereas marsava, the opinion of Rechi and Reb Yochanan are ain't dicha b'yisura. We don't say that, and the fact that it was for period of time disqualified, it didn't have the shear, then the halacha is it doesn't make a difference. Right now it has the shear, it started off with the shear, and therefore it is going to be considered tamei midaraisa. So there are rishonim, and we're going to dispute, the Minchas Chinuch discusses extensively when we speak about something that was originally the right shear, and now it's not the right shear, and now it goes back to being the right shear. Do we say dichoy or not? Minchas Chinuch has a discussion that perhaps that's only in a case where, under normal circumstances, it won't come back to the right shear. But if it's a kind of thing that this is the way it works, it comes back and forth, Minchas Chinuch wants to suggest that maybe everybody would agree and doesn't become disqualified. Ask Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. He says, we're speaking here not only about a kebeya, as we spoke about earlier, but we're also speaking about a kezayis. So we know that to be considered the one chas v'shalom ate mecholos asuris, you have to eat a kezayis. What is the halacha of kezayis by mecholos asuris? Is it a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that we know that the Gemara often says that all the shiurim, whenever we speak about the shiur, it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Then the halacha is that, so now we could understand, do we say dichu or not? In other words, the halacha l'moshe m'sinai says you have to have a kezayis, and now the Gemara added a new dimension where it had it and lost it and got it back. But he asks, if we're going to say that the din of kezayis is a din in achila, that if you ate a kezayis, it's considered that the halacha looks at you like you ate. And if you didn't eat a kezayis, the halacha looks at you like you didn't eat. So why is dichui a consideration? So we see from here, says Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, that whenever we speak about a kezayis, it means a halacha in shiurim. The Karen Oira makes a different observation. He says it can't be that anybody would hold that there's no concept of dichui. He says the concept of dichui, of something becoming disqualified, is a concept that we've discussed many times in our shiurim. And therefore, he says that's not the question. He says that the question here is, if something comes back to its original shear, does that prove that there was never really a dichui? That's the way he says to learn the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Miklam Adam Diyesh Dichui V'Surin, is there somebody that says we could say dichui? But Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Taharis, Paragim Mishnah Dallas teaches us, Kebeyet Oichlin. So as we keep on learning, the shear of Tumah by Oichlin is Kebeya. Shenicha B'chamen, they were put out in the sun, v'nesmatu, and they shrunk. V'kein kezayis ben ameis, a kezayis of ameis, kezayis ben amevela, which are all the shurim that they're metama with, kadashim and asheretz, kezayis pigel, v'kezayis noiser, v'kezayis chelev, all of them shrunk, tahirim, are no longer tahor. V'chayavim aleim, and therefore we won't be chayiv, v'shem pigel noiser v'chelev. V'nicham b'gsholim, and now if they were put into water, and the tabchu, and then they grew, v'chayavan aleim b'shem pigel nois v'chelev. So isn't this clearly to yufta l'man dama yesh dich b'surim, that once it became, doesn't have the shear, it's no longer considered as the shear? Says the Maradi, to yufta, we clearly see that if it originally had the shear, and now it doesn't have the shear, the halacha is that we look at what it was originally. So our Gemara has spoken about different situations where something to determine if it has the shear or not. And the Gemara is established that something that really didn't have the shear and it somehow grew, we started the shear by speaking about meat that was put in, the eagle meat that was put into the pot to cook and got bigger, that is usur. But if it didn't start with the shear kebeya, it's only tamei midrabanan, as we explained, because of maris ayin. One of the questions that is discussed is when we have, for example, a piece of bread, and the piece of bread looks like it has, or a piece of cake, a soft cake particularly, looks like we have the proper shear to make a bracha achrona. A bracha rishona we always make, but the question is on a bracha achrona. But if we were to squeeze it, there's a lot of pockets of hole that don't have, if we squeeze that piece of cake, the piece of bread, then we won't have the proper shear. What's the halacha? So the Shailos HaTshuvos, Zera Emes wants to suggest that if it did not have originally the shear kezias, and then we, for example, put it in a place that it should get a shear kezias, we soaked it in water or anything like that, the halacha will be that it's only with Rabbanon, and he wants to suggest that we should not make a bracha, we should not make a bracha achrayinu. Our Gemara just taught us the halacha of ein dichui b'isurim. If something became disqualified and now it became qualified again, then it's the fact that it was at one point not relevant, not the right shear, is ignored. So the question that comes up, which is a very, very important halachic discussion, is regarding chametz, for example, that at one point became inedible, and then it becomes edible. What will be the halacha? So the Chavistas is of the opinion that a food that became inedible and afterwards it becomes edible, it doesn't make a difference. He says that we say dichui, and once it became inedible, it's inedible and remains that way permanently. The Shaul's Tshuvos, Beis Yitzchak, the Chelkis Yaakov, other Achroinim disagree with the Chavistas, and they say that if it comes back to being edible, it's going to be chametz. That's the opinion also of the Noida Behuda and the Crazy Placey. This question is most relevant to gelatin. Gelatin, we know, comes from the hide of a meat. Now, the question is, if it comes from the hide of a non-kosher animal, but in the process of making gelatin, they put it into acid, they make it totally inedible. And then afterwards, after they've gone through that process, they then make it edible again. Do we say that since it was inedible at one point, so that's why it no longer is going to be considered like a piece of non-kosher meat? Or do we say that since right now it's edible, so that's all that counts in the halacha? We look at, since it was originally edible and now it's edible, the halacha is it's going to be considered like it was originally a piece of non-kosher meat. This is the big shaila regarding gelatin, and it's well known that it was the opinion of Rav Moshe Zatzal, Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, the Michas Yitzchak Zatzal, the Michas, Rav Moshe and Rav Aaron certainly are of the opinion that if it was originally gelatin, and now, even though there was a time where it became inedible, the halacha is that it's still going to be considered, it's going to still be considered as something that was non-kosher. Rav Moshe, when he discusses the halacha that we spoke about, that when we started something that didn't have a kezias, and now it became a kezias because it absorbed moisture, he says that that's only when we have moisture that's part of the cake or piece of bread. But if we add other ingredients, Ramosha says, and those ingredients make us now have a kezayis, then the halacha is, Ramosha says, we don't combine those ingredients to say it's considered kezayis. This, of course, most relevant to being able to say brichas hamazon when you only ate almost kezayis, but it was only kezayis because of other ingredients. The Mishnah Berurah says the lechatchila under those circumstances, one should not say brichas hamazon, or one should not say, alamichya, unless we know that we have a kezayis of flour, or maybe kezayis of flour and water, and if it's other ingredients that achieve the kezayis, we shouldn't say brichas hamazon or alamichya. Tashma. So Gemara brings the next halacha. And this is the halacha to prove this discussion that we're having regarding how we look at things, how do we look at things, and at the shir, do we look at it, what it is currently, what it was originally, etc. The first halacha we have to establish is that every year, from all the produce, truma is given. And since every year truma is given, what is the shir truma? So midaraisa, the halacha is chita achas pateres sakri. Even one kernel is enough. However, Chazal established that a generous person gives a 40th, an average person gives a 50th, and a stingy person gives a 60th. On top of that, there is the din of, there's a din of Meiser. Every year we give Meiserishin, which is 10% of what's left over. So we start, for example, with 100 pounds. Let's say somebody is generous. He gives 2 pounds for truma, which is 98. But as far as the way the Gemara does the calculation, the Gemara, because it wants to use whole numbers, says we're still with 100. So we're going to take off 10 for Maiserishin. From the Maiserishin that we take off, the Kohen give to the Levi, one is Trumas Meiser, and that's given to the Kohen by the Levi. That means the Levi got 10 pounds. He gives 1 pound to the Kohen as Trumas Meiser and keeps nine pounds. Then we continue in the first and the second and the fourth and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. We give another 10% as Meiser Sheni, which is food, which is taken up to Yerushalayim. And in the third and the sixth year, we give Maaser Ani to the poor people. Begins the Gemara of this discussion. Tarmin, so when we speak about figs, there's fresh figs and there's dried figs. A fresh fig is called a ta'ina. A dried fig is called a groigus. Says the Braisa, Tarmin metayma groigus. Groigus, which are dried figs, they're much smaller than the regular figs, b'minyan. And that means if we have 90 groigris and 10 ta'anim, we could give the 10 ta'anim as the meiser that we just discussed. Says, if when we look at an item, we look at the way it is currently, shapir, what we just discussed is fine. Because even though the groigris are much smaller than the ta'anim, because the groigris are dried and ta'anim are not, it doesn't make a difference because we're looking at what they were originally. And originally, the groigris were ta'anim. Eli amri k'may shehein, if we say we look at the way it is currently, havalei marba b'maisris. When we have groigris, there's a much smaller amount than there is of ta'anim. So, just to understand the Gemara, 10% of groigris is going to yield a much smaller amount than 10% of ta'anim. And if you're going to take the ta'anim for the groigris, that means you're going to end up assess them as if they were all ta'anim. You're going to be giving too much maisers. B'tanya, and there's another brisa that says, so you would think, or we would think, giving extra ma'isa is wonderful. But it's not true. Because the halacha is a marbe ma'isris. If somebody gives ma'isa more than he's supposed to, so peiros mesukanim, the peiros that are left are not tevel anymore, because you've removed ma'isa, or ma'isa mekakolim, because you don't have the right ma'isa amount, you have too much. So if we're looking at what they were originally, and we say that the groigris were originally tainim, so that, and therefore we're going to consider them tainim now as well, everything works. But if we don't look at it that way, how can we understand this? How can we understand this halacha? Ella, says the Gemara, this must be a proof, that we're going to make the valuation, we look at the way they were originally. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. Amos Sefer, let's continue learning that brisa. Groigris ala tainim b'mida. If we're taking groigris on the tainim, we have to consider that the tainim are much larger than the groigris, and just taking groigris is not enough. So yeah, b'shlam k'may shehein, if we say, because we look at it, what it is currently, so that halacha is most understandable, shapir. If we're going to say that we look at way it is currently, again, we have the problem, Abba Maisusu, says the Halacha, the Truma Gedoyla Skinin. Says the Gemara, this price is speaking about Truma Gedoyla, which we said means that by Truma Gedoyla, we look at what it is, their Halacha is that we look at what they are currently. Reisha, and the Reisha speaking about a person who took Be'en Yofa, because the problem of Marba B'maisris doesn't exist by Truma. And the reason there's no problem of Marba B'maisris by Truma is because, as we said at the beginning of this discussion, there's really no Shir by Truma. And therefore, the ratio that we said you could take Tainim, even though we're going to be ending up taking more than we have to, is speaking about a person who's giving Truma Ben Yofa. The Sefer that also said that we're ending up giving more than we should have is also talking about a person Ben Yofa. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're explaining that Braisa. Yochei Masefer, let's continue learning that Braisa. Omer Velozaber Rababa. Abba Yonotel Eser Grois Mitzoya. There was a special type of a keli, a type of a vessel that they used to make the groigers, to dry them. Altishim Shabakakola. They took groigris for the tainim. So ye amrit, if vibitruma gedoyla esamai vidite, what does the number 10 have to do with meiser? When we're about truma, we said that meiser has a number 10. Truma, the number 10 doesn't mean anything. Says the Gemara, alohocha, as we spoke also at the beginning, there's a concept of trumas meiser. What does trumas meiser mean? That the levy takes 10% of the truma. Bryce is following Abelazar ben Goimel. The Tanya Abelazar ben Goimel Omer. The Pasuk says, when it speaks about the Maiserishin that the Levium receive, the Pasuk of Neshel Lacham Turascham, Kedogim and Agoyim Kamalayim and Yaakov. Says the Gemara, this Pasuk is talking about two different types of Trumas. Shtei Trumas Akos Medaba. Achas Truma Gedoyla. Vachas Trumas Meiser, that the Levi has to give from the Meiser Rishon that he received. And we learn here that Kshem Shabbat Truma Gedoyla, the Telus Ba'aymet, because as we keep on learning, there is no specific shear to the Truma. And since there is no specific shear to the Truma, we could take it off just by estimation or by Machshava, and we don't have to have a real act of Afrosha. Kach Trumas Meiser, even though the Torah did give a shear of 10%, they tell us ba'omer machshava, amat truma gedol be'en yofa af truma ma'isa be'en yofa. What is the Gemara saying? That even though we've been learning that Chazal are concerned that you should not give more ma'isa than you're supposed to, Chazal would not have that concern by truma's ma'isa. Umino, it says the Gemara, from what we just learned, we could also establish that we look at what it was originally. Because Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, Abba Yonatel Esa Groigus Shabbat Mekzoya, he took 10 dried figs, Altish Shabbat Kala on the moist one. Yeah, Shlomo Kamoy Shehein Aminon, that we look at everything as they were originally. shopper. So the fact that these are figs and these are dates is unimportant to us. Eliam k'moy shehein, if we're going to say that we look at it as it is currently, so we're taking truma from groigris, which are dried. On figs that are not dried, we're not going to be giving enough batzelahu, we're not giving enough kiyasar avdimi, says the Gemara, Amar Ablaz, shani groigris, says the Gemara, a new consideration. This is something that we mentioned earlier. And that is when something dries, not all items that dry are treated the same way. And the Gemara is saying that it really depends if it's easily brought back to where it was or not. And groigris, hayo v'yachol shalken, all you need to do is cook the groigris. And if you're going to cook the groigris, they're going to go back to the way they were, l'kamay shehein. So there, everybody agrees that when we look at groigris, we look at what they were originally. But that has no bearing on something that can't easily be reversed. But the Gemara is teaching us that something that's easily reversed, the halacha looks at it very different. We also learned in our shir, and we've been discussing, a food that doesn't have the shir, but it has moisture. So we've been learning that maybe other ingredients, the halacha is that it won't be considered able to, that we it's had a kazayas, but if it's liquid, it's going to be considered as if it has a kazayas. This question comes up regarding Pesach. If somebody doesn't have enough matzah, or somebody has a difficulty eating matzah, and he dips the matzah into water or into wine, water would be better because then with wine you have a new problem that takes away the taste of the matzah. But you put the matzah into water, would that, and now you have a kazayis, would that be considered that you had a kazayis of matzah? Or if you just look at the matzah itself, you don't have a kazayis, and therefore the halacha is that it's not considered that you ate a kazayis on Pesach of matzah.